Good to be back in the Lord's house this morning. Thank you, Brother Jesse. Scott's coming to get my lapel mic. I didn't pick one up. It's here somewhere. I've got it, Brother Scott. Preston's getting ready to preach or use it. You good? It's good to be back in the Lord's house. And as Susan was testifying and I heard rattled out that thank God for what he did for Brother Joe. Folks, this is the eve or the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving. If you were ever going to thank the Lord for anything, it'd be a day like today. It'd be a good day to do it. And I know people in here have been delivered from cancers. I know you've been delivered from all kinds of different bondage. I know you've been delivered from many different things. And folks, it's right, Miss Marlene and all others in here today are right in saying that you ought to thank somebody. You ought to thank God for that and let the world know who gets the credit for whatever took place. And I know that before we left, the last Wednesday night before we went on, mute me just a minute, Jesse. I'm going to put this thing on. Thank you. Before we went on vacation, Brother Dennis had been in our prayer room. And Brother Dennis, he's already standing in our prayer. I'll just let him tell it. In our prayer room, he had a specific prayer request for something that was going to take place on this Tuesday. He had a tumor in one of his eyes, and he was wanting prayer. And we took him to the Lord in prayer. Go ahead, Brother Dennis. I just seen you stand up. Man. So they went ahead and looked in there. They said it's gone. Amen. They looked on the screen and there it was. He said, all it shows here is a little red spot. I said, I told you. The main doctor took a hold. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 And there's no one else can do this except God. Amen. Amen, Brother Dennis. I was handed a note earlier this morning, and folks, if I believe anybody can pray, I believe y'all can. And this was from the family of Brother Paul Jones. They're asking for a special prayer for Brother Paul's mama, Shirley Jones. Shirley remains in the intensive care unit. So before we leave today, there's two orders of business. We'll already be up here for an anointing for Brother Gary Badgett at the end of the service. And then I just want to turn that into a collective altar prayer on behalf of Paul Jones' mama, Sister Shirley. But we'll take care of that special prayer at the end of this service, along with an anointing for Brother Gary. And if you don't know, Brother Gary, having spent well over a week in the hospital, both at Elkin and then at Baptist, he's over here in the side room. And if you see him or Sister Jamie wearing masks, they don't want what you've got. Being honest with you, the doctors have told them that their immune system being weakened, they don't need anything. So if you're one of those that's walking around with something, just be mindful of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and try not to share that with them. But anyway, we'll take care of those two items. Anybody else with one of those Dennis Minton praise reports that just you can't help it? Now, don't stand up. I'm not going to ask all 200 of you to stand up. If God tells you to, do it. But don't stand up just because you want to be seen or something. You stand up because you got to can't help it. And if you can't help it, I can't stop you anyway. Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1, book that bears my name. I've got a biblical name. My whole name is biblical. Mark Joel Hall. So you'll find that throughout the pages of God's Word. And I'm thankful that I was named a biblical name. But I'm not glad that I was named a biblical name so much as I'm glad that He knows my name. And He wrote that name down in the court of heaven. He dipped His own blood and He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. And if you're saved by God's grace, you too should not have to ever worry about that. All those things you're going to worry about, you'll worry about your children and are they going to do this and are they going to do that? And you're going to worry about health matters and you'll worry about this and that. But one thing you should never have to worry about, Brother Chris, is heaven. Don't worry about eternity because God's still in control. I'm like Miss Marlene. Y'all look quiet today. Y'all all right?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. God.
I'm not convinced. Are y'all all right?
Amen.
All right, let's stand and give reverence to the reading of God's word. You might as well say amen right there, because the rest of the service is going to be saying, oh me. The message, if I were to title it today, is simply this: is God pleased with you? I don't know how else to soften that any. It's just a question. If he's pleased with you, if you're doing what he said do, and you're walking where he says walk, you're going where he says go, and you're doing what he says do, and you're talking what he gives you the speech to speak, and if you've done everything else, then bless God, you should be able to say, amen, preacher. Amen. God is pleased with me. He's well pleased with me for what I've done. But if you're one of those that's not walked worthy of the vocation wherein you were called, and you have taken his good name and maybe cast the very pearls before swine, and you took the good grace of an almighty God, and then you just kind of took that to the low places of this world, let me ask you this. What are you going to do about it? You going to just continue to do it? Are you just going to continue to go down a path of debauchery and wrong and ill will and evil speaking and come down to that point? Or are you going to do something about it? I hope and pray that, bless God, you'll step up to the plate and you'll bow down at the cross and you'll get right with God, because he truly wants to help you, okay? He really does. He's a good God. He doesn't want to punish people. He said it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants you to prosper. You say, oh, you're one of them prosperous preachers. Bless God, you get saved by God's grace and you'll be prosperous, because you're going to understand that everything you've got belongs to him, and he let you be an heir and a joint heir with his only begotten son. And bless God, that ought to make you prosper to know that heaven is going to be your home. And it's like the preacher said, you get to walk on a street of pure gold. There's no dross in that street. There's no imperfection in that street. Bless God, it's pure gold. As translucent glass is, it is. And we'll get to walk there. Down here, we hold everything in high esteem. If it's got some kind of gold or some kind of a monetary value attached to it, Brother Tim, we think very highly of that. Miss Cindy and I, and thanks to you, church, for helping us to get away for that week and praying for us while we were gone. God just blessed us. There was nights that I could walk outside, and honestly, the little place that we stayed at, and I say little place, it was probably about 6,000 to 8,000 square feet, had 6 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, but it was cheaper than anything else we could find that far north, and I'm just thankful for it. I mean, I played hide and go seek with Cindy and the Yorkies. It took them a long time. She was using them dogs to find me. I was on the very bottom floor near the foosball table up in a closet, and them dogs was sniffing me out. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that I could walk out there, Brother Tam, and I walked out to the edge of the road, and as far as I could see in any direction, there wasn't a light on. Hey, wasn't one other person stirring. Hey, wasn't anything. There wasn't even a mouse crawling. Brother Luke, there was nothing out there, and we would walk out and look, and honestly, you could walk down to the beach, and it was just on the other side. You could hear the waves, and we could see it through the house, and we weren't oceanfront, but I mean, we could walk out there, and as far as the eye could see, before the curvature of the beach would go one direction or the other, we didn't see another soul. And you said that was a blessing to you. You better believe it was a blessing to me. It was so blessed to be able to get away and just kick everything out of gear for a while, and then brought us back home safely. But whenever I looked at that and I reflected on everything, God put 3 messages on my heart, and I tried my best. And I come in here today thinking, man, it's just Psalm 100 all over again. We're just going to come into his courts with praise and offer up our voice and our praise of thanksgiving unto the God of heaven, Brother Tim, for all his manifold blessings toward us. That's what I was going to do today. That's what I thought God wanted to do. But I got up this morning, and he, knowing better than I know who was going to be here and what was needed, he said, preach this message. Is he pleased with you? That's the title of the message. Is he pleased with you? But then I want to turn it around and ask this: is he pleased with me? You'll ask it the same way whenever it becomes your personal message today. The scriptures do declare in the book of Mark, we don't start out with the birth of Christ in Mark chapter number 1. We'll let the other writers of the Gospels tell that story. Mark doesn't start out with the advent of Christ. He starts out with the reason that he came. Rather than him coming as the babe, he starts out basically with the story of the gospel. And Mark starts out, and we're going to read probably about 11 verses. It starts out in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. God did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him of all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven. And I want you to hear verse number 11 and listen to it expressly, because this is the text verse for our whole message today. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove them in the wilderness. And there was in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. May God add his blessing to the reading of our scripture even now. And we'll just go and pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can approach the throne of grace in a matter of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this good congregation, Lord, above 200 today, Lord, that will be here today, God, to hear from heaven. Lord, some may be here for other means because somebody brought them, or maybe they're here to appease their spouse, or maybe they're here just because mom and daddy told them they were coming. But Lord, we're all here collectively under the sound of this message today. And Lord, I truly believe, God, that you have put this on my heart, dear God. And Lord, you're trying your best, God, to get into the hearts of your children, dear God, and get into the hearts of the lost people, dear God. Lord, you've done what was responsible. You've done what was necessary, God, in that you loved us so much that you gave us your only begotten Son. God, your part was done, dear. Well, you have done your best, God, whenever you gave us your only darling Son, dear God, the only begotten of the Father, Lord. That was the best that heaven had to offer, dear God. Lord, help each one of us now under the sound of this message, God, to hear it. And Lord, try to be well-pleasing in your sight, dear God, in your eyes. Lord, not take for granted the things, Lord, that you've given us, such as good health and strength, a fine facility to worship in. Lord, musical talent above that others may have, dear Lord. You've got pianists and organists, and Lord, we've got guitarists and choir leaders, and God, we've got voices that sing and blend together, Lord, in harmony, dear God, that brings praise unto your name. God, we've got pews that are filled with people, dear God. Some are ready to worship, dear God. Lord, we're blessed above measure, dear God. Lord, help us to be mindful of those things, oh Lord, today. Lord, as we look into your scriptures today, and I ask this question, God, are you pleased with me? Lord, may it be said, dear God, that you are. But Lord, you know that. Lord, and I truly believe in my heart, I know that as well. For what you're about to do and what you're going to do throughout the remainder of this service, I'll go ahead and thank you. I ask it in the name of my Savior and your Son, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'll say in opening this, the 11th verse, it starts out and it says that God was well pleased with his Son. I want you to flip over to the book of John just a minute. John chapter number 1. We're in Mark chapter number 1. One presents him as the Son of God. The other presents him as the Son of Man. These writers in the scripture, they knew what they were doing when they portrayed and wrote these things down. And let me just say quickly, in the book of John, I want to give you this because it's not going to make much sense to you beyond the first opening message, the first opening remarks, except that I tell you he's talking to you. He's not just talking about his Son. Whenever he said that, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He's not just talking about Jesus. Because in the book of John chapter number 1 in verse number 12, listen at this. It says, but as many as received him. Let's stop right there. Have you received the gift of grace? Are you saved by God's grace? If you are, say amen. Amen. Then that means you are one of his. Am I right or wrong, preachers? Am I right, Brother Chris? Is that right, Brother Archie? If you're saved, that means you are one of his. That means you, and listen to what it says. To the many as received them, him, to them gave he power to become what? the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if you said, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will, but man, but of God. So let me just ask you this. If you're saved by God's grace, then do you have an argument with me saying that you're one of his children? You're one of the sons of Almighty. The Bible said, many as he loved him, he gave him to become the sons of God. And I believe that I'm a child of God, but I'm a son of God. I am an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So whenever I preach this message today, that is Jesus satisfied or pleased with you, let me just say he was well pleased with his son. So I want you to ask, and that begs the question today, and God just put this on my heart early this morning. I've not studied it out a whole lot. I don't have a whole lot of deep theology to give you except to say this. You need to be pleasing in the sight of Almighty God because he truly knows the score. He knows if you're walking right. He knows if you're talking right. He knows if your deportment is right. You said, what in the world, deportment? We believed it enough to put it up there. That's your mannerism. That's your conduct. So he knows all these things. Most of the time we end up walking by sight rather than by faith. Guilty is this man. Woe is me. We walk by sight and not by faith. If you don't know, Brother Chris, I believe you took a step of faith. And I believe that. And I believe God will honor that. And I wish that more of us. And I'm trusting in God myself that he's going to help me to do the same thing. And that's what I want for each and every one of us. But most time we walk by faith and we walk by sight and not by faith. We work for earthly gain. We work out our own witness in this manner. Does it look good on me? Does it reflect positively on me? Rather than saying, does this look good on him? Does this reflect positively on him? It shouldn't look good on me, brother, all the time, but it should always look good on him. It may not sound right coming from my mouth. It may not sound right coming from your mouth, preacher. But bless God, if it's off that blessed page, it's right. And I trust that it is right if you rightly divide the word of God. Now listen to me just a minute. We're going to go through this thing very quickly today. But God knows your mannerisms. God knows your conduct. God knows your devotion. God knows you whether or not you woke up one day and say, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. And that decision was one that you made. Or rather, Brother Greg, he broke you down like a double barrel shotgun, broke you in half and folded you up and put you on a heap pile on the ashes of the altar of Almighty God. He knows if what you did was in yourself, or he knows if what he did, or what you did as a result of what he did whenever he sent conviction unto your way. Some have said, when I go on vacation, I preach too hard when we come back, but that's all right. I hope that it don't wear off for any time soon. I want to preach even harder. And if you want me to preach harder, send me off again about next week, and that'd be real good. So today I want you to see in these opening remarks, the very first verse in them is, listen, it's not talking about your preacher. It's talking about him, because it starts out in verse number 1, and you'll see the person of this gospel. The beginning of the gospel is what? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Come in, you wayfaring strangers. Somebody find the Rash family a seat. I knew they'd be back. I just didn't know they'd be 20 minutes late. Wait a minute, they're an hour late. Come on in, kids. Anyway, the Bible said that the person of the gospel is none other than, verse number 1, than Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Presenting Jesus as the Scripture today teaches that he is our Savior, our Counselor, and our Redeemer. That is the hope of every preacher that's ever preached the gospel. It's been said that if a preacher doesn't mention Jesus, he's not preached. And I believe that to be true. I don't care if you're in the Old Testament or you're in the New, whether you're in Genesis or Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. So this morning, this message is about Jesus, but it's also about you today. Are you pleasing unto him? So listen, the first verse, you see the person. The second one, you see an old battle-scarred, flint-faced preacher by the name of John. The voice that was prophesied out of the book of Isaiah, he's the one that come crying that there's one a-coming. And what was his message? His message was a one-word message, Brother Chris. What was it? What was it? Just screaming out. It was none other than repent. Repent. You said, what is that word? Repentance. We don't hear that much anymore, preacher. Let me tell you, the person that's saying repent is a preacher. And the preacher that's a preaching is John the Baptist. And if I was to say anything unto you today, I'd say repent. Turn from your wickedness. Turn from sin and turn unto God. If you'll turn away from and you'll turn to, Brother John. It'll make a difference in the long run. It'll make a difference, and then you'll understand that the latter part of what I preach today, it'll make more sense to you if you get these few things in proper perspective. So verses number 1 is all about the person. Number 2 through 8 is about the preacher. And then you're going to see the plan. Is that in verse number 10? You'll see that it was to bring God down to man. How did he do that? Because he was born of a woman? No. He did that because the Holy Spirit of promise came down. Whenever he was baptized, and this does away with sprinkling, my friend. You can be sprinkled all day long if you want to. I'll even sprinkle you later if that's what you want. But bless God, there's something about old-fashioned Holy Ghost baptism, putting you down into an old watery liquid grave and resurrecting or raising you in the newness and the likeness to live forever in Christ Jesus. But anyway, we keep going out. There's a plan involved here. And Brother Tim, we see that whenever that Holy Spirit comes down and resides on him. Mark opens up this gospel, not with the birth of Christ, but basically with the birth of the gospel. He presents, here it is. This is what he came for. And bless God, that plan was revealed, and that Holy Spirit of God, it stayed on him. He's about 30 years old here, and he's beginning his earthly ministry, and that Holy Spirit come as a dove and landed on him, and he stayed there, Brother Varun. For 3.5 years, he worked and labored, and he healed, and he touched, and he did all these great things. And then, Brother John, on the day of Pentecost, after he had given up that same Holy Spirit, and that same Holy Spirit had gone back to the Father which gave it, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But on that day of Pentecost, my goodness, friends, he came back, and that same Holy Spirit that came, that called them to speak in their own native tongue. But Brother Tim, they understood it as cloven tongues of fire. They understood that, Brother Varun. And here the Holy Spirit resides with us still today. Amen. There was a plan involved in this. So I'm asking you, are you part of that plan? And you being a part of that plan, then you are well pleasing unto him, and he's pleased with you. But if you're not a part of that plan, you can be before the service ends. Let's just dive right in. Listen, as I try to go through a few things here today, I'm just going to start out. Is God pleased with you? Is he pleased with your devotion to your Savior? I'm asking you. Preston, is he pleased with your devotion unto him? You said, what is devotion? Preacher, what is devotion? That's that act of being devout towards something, Brother Tam, that causes you to show great emotion or passion toward that event or that person. I'm telling you what, I'm devoted. I'll help you to understand that. I am devoted unto this woman. I am devoted unto that marriage. I have a deep devotion to maintain a household of God, that we could be good godly parents. I am devoted, or I have a great devotion toward this church house, Brother Tam. Why? Because I know that upon many, 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 many preachers, God hath let me be here. West God, I don't take that lightly. I have a devotion toward that sacred desk and that sacred calling, that holy place that God hath put me in. Brother Tam, many people that could have been your pastor, and God could have set any of them up here, and that would have been fine with me. He would have had another work for me. But brother, I'm devoted to that position in this. I don't want to disappoint him. I want him to be well pleased with me. So I ask you today, are you devoted to the Savior that died and loved you so much? That bless God, he would go and take the scourging and the beating. Are you devoted enough to him? Well, I like him pretty good, preacher. I like going places he goes, and I like to read about him once in a while. I'd rather curl up with a good old Agatha Christie novel, but that book's all right. Listen, if you don't love the book, you don't love him, period. That's period. Put a period right there. Why? Because he is the Word. Is that right? The Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in that 14th verse of the same chapter, 1 John. Brother, it's right there. If you don't love him, don't tell me you love his Word. And don't tell me you love his Word, but you don't love him. It don't work together. They don't line up. So let me just ask you, is he pleased with your devotion to him? Are you devoted to him? Is he pleased with your devotion? Let's just look down through there. Does what breaks his heart break yours? Does it? Could you go into a place and, You know, we got up here in our covenant. I've referred to that twice already. The Bible said abstain from the appearance of evil, or abstain from the, what is that verse? The sale of and the use of destructive drugs, intoxicating drinks and beverage. Brother J.D., you know what? I'm glad that Miss Teresa, and I wish she could come more. I do. I miss Miss Teresa. But I'm thankful that she doesn't serve alcohol down there. Because if she served alcohol in her establishment, then she would be violating the very covenant that we put on the wall among other believers. But if you can partake in that, if you can nip the sauce, if you can do that and run around with those that do. Brother, if me and you and Miss Cindy and Miss Shirley go out and you order up a cold one and you're sitting at the table we are, I'm not going out with you again, brother. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. You said, yeah, but Jesus ate with sinners that he might win them. But God, let me tell you, I know of a certain preacher, and I put that in quotation mark, Brother Lou. He said that his place is to the bars. And where's he go? He goes to all the bars. What's he doing? He don't go to church on Sunday, but he goes to the bars. He tells everybody that he's going in there to try to win them. You're not going to win them by joining them. Bless God, you've got to come out from among the world. Touch not the unclean thing. What breaks his heart ought to break your heart. And if it does it, you've got a problem and you're not well pleasing unto him. If it breaks his heart, it ought to trouble you. If it caused him a tear, would it not cause? If you don't hate what he hates, the Bible said there are six things the Lord hates, and the seventh is an abomination unto him. Do you like that stuff too? Anybody here gossip? Oh, don't preach on gossip, backbiting, tail-bearing. You don't, well, that's in the covenant too, but anyway. You said, is that part of that sixth thing that the Lord hates? Bible said there's some feet that are swift to run to mischief. Bible even talks about busybodies, minding everybody's business but their own. If that stuff doesn't bother you, then all right now, you got a problem and you're not well-pleasing the sight of the Lord and he's not pleased with you. Your devotion to the Savior, how is it? What he loves, you ought to love. What he hates, you ought to hate. What he did, you ought to do. You say, well, I got saved, but I don't want to be baptized. Wait a minute, was he baptized? Didn't we just read that? You ought to take on baptism. Yeah, but I don't know if really, that's not a prerequisite to go into heaven. I don't want to do it if I don't have to do it. You ought to do it to show the world whose side you're on. Where he went, we ought to go. Where did he go? He went into the temple for to pray and stood up to read. All this stuff's right here in the pages of God's Word. So I ask you today, is God pleased with your devotion to the Savior? Do you love him? I mean, are you madly, deeply, passionately in love with him? I hope you are. Because if you are, you will do then what the Bible says. Listen at this. John chapter number 14 and verse number 15. Says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Preacher, that's too hard. Them commandments were out there as a law hanging around us as a weight that we couldn't bear. That's why we've got grace. How about the one that greater than all those other ones hung on the wall was what, Brother John? That you just love your neighbor. How about that one? If you didn't keep the other 10, how about the one that all of them hinged and hung upon, that you love your neighbors yourself? We have trouble with that as well, do we not? Right. Y'all will never let me go on vacation again. How about your dedication to the Scriptures? How about that? Is he pleased with your dedication to the Scriptures? I told you, John 1:1 told us that he was the Word. John 14 said the Word was made flesh. How about Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 13? The Bible talked about his vesture was dipped in blood. And the Bible said he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. So don't tell me you love the Word of God, but you don't love him. How about your dedication to the Scriptures? Chris, do you read your Bible except that whenever you're called to preach, or do you read it just for your own enlightenment and help? I hope you read it because you just need to have a little time with him. If the only time I went to eat, Brother Tam, is whenever she fixed a meal, I wouldn't get to eat a whole lot. Why? Because I'm gone a whole lot away from house. I have to feast at other times. And if the only time I eat, Brother Varun, is when I come here, what am I going to do Monday through Friday or Saturday? I'm going to starve to death. You ought to get that thing out about Monday night and start crawling in it and saying, what's in here, Lord? Speak to me. Open my eyes. Be devoted to the Savior, but be dedicated to the Scriptures, Brother John. I don't care if you're on the road setting up an English store in North Alabama or sitting on a church pew at Calvary Baptist Church. You ought to be devoted to the Savior and dedicated enough to pick His book up and read it. Why? Because the Bible teaches us to search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And you do. Man, we're quiet today. If you don't love the book, you don't love Him. You don't know more about Him? There's an autobiography in your lap. What's an autobiography? That's something written for somebody, about somebody, by the same person that wrote it, instructed to give it to somebody else to read so they might better know them. I just read a story about a man named Jesse Stewart, one of my favorite childhood authors. The name of the book was The Thread That Runs So True. He's an old schoolhouse teacher from the early 1900s. He wrote Man with a Bull Tongue Plow and several other, they're country stories. Y'all would love them. If you ever start loving reading, you'll get into some of that stuff. It's wholesome reading. And one thing I learned, you want to know about the author? Read some of his writings. Read some of his stories. Read about where he went and what he did. I have a greater admiration for the man, Jesse Stewart, having read some of his books because they were autobiographical in nature. And bless God, this is nothing more than a hymn book about him. It's a story as the Holy Ghost of God moved upon people. And Brother John, they pinned it down. You said that thing got many authors. Bless God, they wasn't but one author. And bless God, he is the author and the finisher of our faith and that book. He inspired that book to be written. You said Moses wrote those books of the Pentateuch, of the first five books. Yeah, he did, but bless God, he did it under the inspiration of Almighty God. And you ought to be dedicated enough to the Scripture to get in them and read it once in a while for yourself. Don't tell me you love him if you don't read his book. You sure don't want to learn much more about him. Well, this next one's probably going to hit, probably hit me as much as it did anybody that's going to in here. Is God pleased with your discernment concerning sin? I'm just asking, are we not guilty? Is this preacher not guilty? Is this preacher not guilty? Are we all not guilty of labeling and categorizing sins? Oh, brother, we're pretty hard on the homosexual crowd. Oh, we're very hard on those thieves and thugs. And we'll chalk him up as Mr. Scumbag over here. Oh, yeah. Mr. Scumbag, he broke in and stole all my stuff, this thief. And we get down right on to the drug heads and the alcoholics. We are very hard on that, all that. But bless God, is he pleased with your own discernment of sin? You said, I don't understand. How do you do not just with a big one such as abortion or sodomy or homosexuality or fornication? How you do on that one when it comes down to envy? How you do on that one where it comes down to matters of the heart such as gossip and of sin such as covetousness or lasciviousness or lust of the flesh? How about jealousy? Anybody ever jealous? I mean, my goodness, preacher, the Bible said jealousy is as cruel as the grave. It is the sin of witchcraft. And you don't ever hear anybody talk about jealousy. But yeah, man, well, we beat up them alcoholics. We'll lay them out like a pot. Is he pleased with your discernment about sin, or do you just try to stay away from all of it? You ought to try to stay away from every single bit of it. You ought to. Are sinners nervous in your company? I'm serious. I'm asking that question. Do sinners get a little bit, ooh, here he comes. Brother, they do that. I've seen it at board meetings. I've seen it at postmaster meetings. I've seen it at many meetings. Brother Tam, everybody's over there cutting up something real good till you walk up, and then they scurry like a bunch of rats when the light come on. They don't want to be around. Why? They were nervous when you walked up. Why? Because of your discernment concerning sin. And they knew where you stood on the issue. They were telling filthy, vile jokes that had every kind of sexual connotation when it come down. But the punchline was there. It might not have been just laid out as a dirty one, but you knew what it was. But and then all of a sudden, here you come up. Hey, guys, what's up? Next thing you know, Robbie says, like I said, the light come on. There went all the roaches. Is God pleased with your discernment when it comes down right down to sin? It's just sin. Are there different manners and different grades of sin? You better believe they are. The Bible tells about some of them. Sin is sin, though. It all breaks God's heart, and what breaks His ought to break yours. We've already been down that road. Preacher, I don't understand that one. Luke, is it always easy? Can I use you? You sit up front today. I like you. Don't use you. Jamie Blackburn. I'll use him. Is it always worse when it's somebody else's family? Don't it always seem that way to y'all? It is. Boy, that would never happen in my house. Boy, bless God, if that's my daughter. I got an amen and a hand waving out there going on. It's always worse when it's somebody else's, ain't it, Brother Kenny? Yeah, boy, bless God, that never happened over at the Anderson house. You better believe, bless God, if it weren't for grace, it would have happened in the Hall household. It would have happened in every one of us's household. Well, bless God, I ain't never had a child do that. Well, bless God, maybe you've never had a child. Either that or you just didn't know what your children were doing. Brother Joe, we ought to have discernment of sin, but it seems like it's always worse when it's his. Bless God, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have let them little kids do that. Boy, he shouldn't have done that himself. Boy, if his wife wasn't such a hoe bag, she wouldn't have been doing that. You better watch out, because it might be right in your own doorstep. Your discernment of sin is this. Search the scriptures and know them, and then you'll know what's right and what's wrong. And it'll help you in your walk. Seems like we have a hard time with the discernment of sin. We're soft on the ones that we're messed up in. Pretty soft on them. Well, we're hard on them when somebody else is messed up in them. How about this? Is God pleased with your... And don't fall out with me here. Just because you ain't been to church in the last 20 years. Or you ain't been to church in the last 2 months. Maybe you ain't been here and this is your first time in 2 or 3 weeks. Your dedication to the sanctuary. Brother Tam, I remember growing up, and you got a lot of van kids in here, and I call you van kids with great respect. I do. I call you van children with high respect. Somebody loved you enough to pick you up and bring you down here, and God loved you enough to send his son to a cross to die for you. How good's that? But they don't understand, Brother Tam, the seriousness of this beautiful place, this sanctuary. How about your dedication to it? How about your devotion to this very place? Now, I'm not just talking about the doors being open and you being here, although that works real well. I'm talking about why you are here. You can be here every Sunday and still be absent every Sunday. Amen. He used to have a preacher, he wasn't a preacher, but we used to have a man, he's dead and gone now. He could tell you how many panels were in the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle from the back corner to the front corner, how many wide and how many long. Why? Brother Tam, that's what he did during the service. Our brother Jack Osmer's up doing some expository preaching on the Word of God there. He is counting selling panels. Tell you there's 47 down that way and 27 across or whatever they were, Brother John. He was somewhere fishing. He was somewhere hunting. He was somewhere doing something, but he was not in that service. How about your devotion to this sanctuary? Are you hearing what the preacher's preaching? What's the title of the message today if you're listening? What's the title of the message? I've done told you probably 10 times. Is the Lord pleased with you? Is the Lord pleased with me? Brother Chris, do we serve men and please men, or do we rather please God? We ought to be pleasing in Him, in His sight. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 tells us, if you want to go that road, we can go there, that you ought to be here. You ought to be here. You said, yeah, you weren't here the last two services. Yeah, I took a little vacation. It's either that or kill myself. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm just being facetious. I had to get away. We needed some time. But my friends, you don't have to call me on Wednesday night and remind me about 5 o'clock. Hey, preacher, service time's tonight. You better get in the Word. You better find something. And people coming in are going to be wanting something. Brother John, I know it's for Wednesday. And do you know right now that Wednesday's coming? It's already here. This preacher's already praying about what God's going to do here on Wednesday night. You said, don't overlook this evening's service. I'm not. I'm already there. I think God's going to do something this evening. I thought first that He was going to do here today. This morning, and he just shuffled the deck on me, Brother Tam, but I'll go with him any day. You said, I thought being the eve of Thanksgiving, we'd get up here on Praise the Lord and come into His courts with Thanksgiving. We are. I am. If I get all these other things in right, we'll be thankful. Let me just give you a couple more as we close this thing down here in just a second. How about your dealings with sinners? Is He pleased with your dealings towards sinners? Do you find the one that's overtaken in a fault and extend a hand of mercy? Do you hand him a lifeline or do you throw him a brick? If you throw him a brick, you heap that on him, you're just going to push him further down. But if I find Brother Greg slipping, and Brother Greg, you slip. I slip. Brother Vroom, if I find you slipping, and you do slip because I slip, I ought to be saying, Brother Greg, Brother Vroom, Brother Archie, get your head up, son. I think that was the common message for about a month around here, Brother Tam, to get your head up. And if you can't lift it up, the Bible said we had a lifter up in mine head. We preached that one, so if you can't, he can do it. But how about your own deals with sinners? Are you merciful to them yourself? Do you show them kindness and love? How about the fact that the Lord said, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. They said, wherein did we do that? Well, you took care of those needs that were before you. You gave them water. You gave them clothing. You did the things that I told you to do. And because you did that, you did it unto me. How about our dealing with sinners? Brother John, do we look at him and say, he's too far gone? I look at Brother Chris and I say, he's too far gone. Ain't no help for him. Christ said, no, I died for him.
Amen.
He's worth dying for.
That's right.
If he thought you were to die for, Brother John, there must be something special about you. Those little kids sing that song, I must be special. You were. He thought enough of you to die for you. I'm going to close with this last one. Your display in society. I look at this church and then I look at other churches. You know what I find myself doing? Comparing. Y'all do it, we all do it. We wonder what their church signs got on this time. I bet ours is better. Ours is better this time. We got them again. Brother John, do you realize that that steeple's up there for a reason? You said that was in the Bible, that every place of worship is supposed to have a big tall spire that goes up into the world that everybody might... No, that ain't in the scriptures. But we put that thing up there, Brother Varun, to distinguish us, that in society, anybody driving up down this road, anybody coming through here, they might know that, hey, that place is a place of worship. That place is a place where sinners can go get help. We're not a museum for saints over here. Set us up on the shelf and let everybody come by and look at us. No, it's a hospital for sinners, Brother John, where sick can come in and get healed and get help. But what we're doing whenever we say we've got a steeple, and we've got all this stuff going on, we better take that stuff very seriously. Why? Because in the book of the Revelation, he said, if you don't remember, return, repent. He said, go back to doing your first love. What did he say, Brother Kenny? He said, I'll remove your candlestick. What was that? That was their influence in an untoward generation, in an ungodly society. He said, I will remove your candlestick from its place. He didn't say, I'm going to knock the steeple off. He said, I'm going to take your witness. I'm going to take your godly influence, and your display will be of naught. It won't nobody trust in it anymore. You let word get out that all we do up here is David Burge duking it out with Scott Miller back there. Everything going on, we're fighting tooth and nail. Ken just took out Brother Robbie. And bless God, but thank God Robbie had Jody on his side. And next thing you know, all we're known for is a bunch of fighting, feuding, backstabbing bullies. In the, that ain't God's way. God ain't pleased with that. I've known preachers that do it. I've known pastors that do it. That if you didn't get saved under my ministry, you ain't saved. That's hogwash. I didn't save anybody.
Amen.
You know that story. If you don't do it a certain way and it's not carved out in a certain manner and followed up with all the right things done, that it's not of God. Let God be God. Let every man be a liar. God's word's true. But we ought to show Christ. Whenever I said our display and this, in order to just show Christ. That's what it ought to be. It ought to just be a display. When people come by here, they ought to be afraid, Brother Cole, to throw a beer can out. I know that Miss Ann goes by sometimes, and Brother Lewis will be mowing. He's picking up beer cans and finding the junk around here, Brother Lewis. Shouldn't he be on the church property? We ought to be on display so much that they say, man, I ain't going to do nothing over there. I wouldn't dare desecrate that place. That's God's place. Man, they love sinners over there. I asked Brother Scott to come today, and the musicians come to our piano and organ, whichever way you want to do it. Is God pleased with you today? Preacher, is God pleased with you? You should be asking those sinners back there. I'm asking the preachers. Where does judgment begin? According to the Bible, where does it start? The Bible said judgment must first begin at us. It begins in the house of God. And how much worse is it going to be if it begins here and goes out? It's It's something we'll take notice of, Brother Scott. Is God pleased with you? The Lord Jesus Christ said, man, I preached a whole message and everyone went back to my text verse. That's all right. God knows what he's doing. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He was pleased with Jesus. And then I followed it up with this. I followed it up with a verse that said that, where did I go whenever I found that other verse? That as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Everybody that said amen, they were a son of God. If he was well pleased with his own son, is he well pleased with us, the surrogates, the adopted, the ones that had to be born again because we didn't get in by birthright the first time? That was Adamic. The Adam nature of man was upon us all, but yet, bless God, we got in by the birthright, by being born again. By the adoption of saints, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. We're sons. If he can look from heaven and say, that's my son, in whom I am well pleased. Can he say the same thing about you today as we stand, Brother Scott?